Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Thursday, February 4th, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 76, paragraph 3, which begins with, "Now we need more action," and ends with, We will go to any lengths for victory over alcohol," reading and commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are Joanne L. for the 12 steps, Linda S. for the 12 traditions, Penny L.C. will read and comment on our reading, and Nancy C., page 164. Dana P. is here for backup, thank you. And our newcomer greeter is Diane D., and Robin P. will close us out with some announcements. Thank you, everybody. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, that's for Monday, February 3rd, is 22132, 22132. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 22134, 22134. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous, I hear somebody's unmuted. So if you could check your mute status, that would be great. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Elaine. So nice to be with you this month. And welcome to the newcomers and everybody else on the line. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovering one day at a time. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. And I will now ask Linda S. to please read the 12 traditions for us.
Hi, everyone. Linda S. in Sweden. I apologize in advance if I may cough. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you so much, Linda S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 76, paragraph 3, which begins with, "Now we need more action." And I will ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading for us.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Now we need more action. Without which we find that, quote, faith without works is dead, end quote. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took our inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris that has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. And what I know is, as I've gone through the steps to this point, I've had to take action. This chapter is called Into Action. And I've taken steps of action. I have step one, conceded. I have step two, decided. I have step three, turned. Beyond that, I have confessed. After making a list, after making another list, I have humbled myself. And now I'm to make another list, to go back through and be accountable for where I have misstepped, where I have hurt others with my words or my actions, and to offer an amend. So this is a big commitment when I'm doing a step 8 and 9. I need to remember that what my objective is, when it was originally freedom from compulsive eating obsession, it also now, I see it's freedom from my self-centered fear and the rest of my shortcomings. Now it's freedom from the guilt and shame of my wrongdoing. It's difficult to take this step. There's no doubt about that. It's absolutely difficult. But each step before had its challenges, especially I remember distinctly with needing to begin my inventory. And yet with my higher power, beyond my power, it was doable, which helps me believe that step 9 will be possible as well. I began with the easier ones and found relief after each one. And these actions gave me the willingness and the strength to continue to the end of my list. When I met resistance, I prayed as directed here. And then I was given the grace to remember that my objective is not to focus on their inventory, but instead on how my words and or my behavior were out of line with my higher power's will for me. And I am to act with humility. I also can assure myself that God, my higher power, doesn't bring me to it, that they won't bring me through it, one step at a time. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Oh, thank you very much for getting us started. All right. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple meetings, do please. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know your name and where you're calling from. Anybody like to comment on page 76, paragraph 3?
We'd love Jean to Marie G., Northern California.
Jean Marie G., California. Anybody after Jean Marie? Why don't you go ahead and share, or unless somebody else, anybody else want to line up here? Sorry. Yeah, Jean Marie, why don't you go ahead and then we'll add some people to the lineup, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate being here. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. Well, it's really appropriate to be reading this today because I've gone through the steps several times, and I don't know, when I first came in program, I thought, oh, you go through the steps once, huh? And then you go through 10 through 12, and I've been going through them. And I hit step 8 and went, okay, and I had a bit of a snag. And then it came to making my amends, and I did everything I could to put it off, and there was one that I did a few days ago that was particularly really, really hard for me. And my sponsor said to me, okay, take this step. And I went, okay, I can do this. So it was interesting. It was a really gaudy kind of experience because when I called up, it was a service provider, and he actually answered the phone, which he never does. And his assistant was out that day. And I said, you know, I have an amends to make to you. And he said, well, can you just tell me over the phone? And I said, no, I'd like to do this in person. And he asked twice, and I said, I'd like to do this in person. He said, okay, come on down at noon. And I had the most amazing experience. I was so nervous going down there. And when I sat across from him and said what I needed to say, which was very challenging for me, he just looked at me and he said, and I said, what do I owe you? And he said, you know, what you just did is worth more than any money you could ever give me. And I started to cry, and it just, it was like a log jam released, and I felt like, oh, I can do this, because I have more amends to make. And I don't know, perhaps I should have started with an easier one. This is one of my harder ones. But it felt so important to get that one done. And I really prayed and felt God, higher power with me as I drove down there, as I made the amends, and then afterwards. And so now what I'm finding is that I'm having the courage and the humility to really do the rest of them. And I'm so, so grateful for this program, because it just eased something in my heart. And it is so worth doing these steps. So thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you all. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Jean Marie. Appreciate that. Okay. Anybody else want to comment on this paragraph?
Barbara S., New York.
Barbara S.
Should I go forward?
No. Let's see if we can get some more people in the lineup first. Barbara.
Okay, sure.
Who else would like to share?
Sherry M.
Sherry M.
What paragraph, Elaine?
We are on page 76, paragraph 3. It begins with, now we need more action, and ends with victory over alcohol.
Diane B., New York.
Diane B. Anyone else for this lineup? Okay. Barbara S., Sherry M., and Diane B. So please share with us, Barbara S.
Okay, after this meeting, I'm going to have to look at that paragraph again, because I've been in program for quite a while. I've done the steps, but I still have important amends to make, one being to myself. I'm not doing a lot of actions in program. I'll do a little bit, and then I'll rest, and then a little bit. I'm not meeting my potential, and there is a lot I am capable of doing, and I'm just seeing that more so later in life. I'm in my fourth quarter, and today I am home. I have time to do the work that I have to do. Not have to do, but which will help me. So I'm glad that I got on this meeting. I'm sorry I'm not home enough to come. This meeting really, really comes through. I allow it, but it also seeps into my brain as a strong reminder. So I want to thank everybody that does service on here, everybody speaking, because it helps me to hear and learn. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you for doing service by Sherry and Barbara. We appreciate that. Sherry M., you're up next, followed by Diane B.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Sherry M., gratefully recovered in Wyoming. And I was surprised that a lot of people weren't putting their names in. This is a paragraph of my book. I think it's important, and I have all of my protégés right. I am willing to go to any length, and then they sign and date it the day that we start the steps. And sometimes I have had to say, let's go back to the cover page or the title page and look at what you wrote. Oh, yeah, let's remind ourselves that. And the reason why I do that is because we are going to balk at this step. I know that I have, but I can tell you everything so far, all the promises in every step that we have received up to now, which, you know, we can just start with the basic one, to have victory over compulsive overeating. Isn't that why we initially came in? And then we find out that it's so much more than that. This is the step that allows me to go to bed every night. And if I never wake up, I know that I am clean with everybody. My side of the street, there is nothing that's undone. There is nothing that's weighing over me, because eventually the weight of guilt or shame or, you know, just the fear of not doing something is so much greater than actually doing it. And my experience has been that people, this is a gift. You know, when I turn this around and look at this as I'm going to give somebody a gift now. And what is that gift going to be? It's going to be truth. It's going to be like, let's see, it's going to be like, you know, I'm confirming their reality of me, basically. Yeah, I have shown up selfishly. You know, of course, they have experienced that with me. They've experienced me not answering my phone or acting in a certain way or shutting down emotionally. You know, I learned that the things that I thought I was hiding from everybody, not so much. I can pick up on negative energy, can't you guys? You know, people knew exactly what was happening. And to go to them, and the instructions haven't been laid out yet, but there are clear-cut instructions that I go to them and I tell them I will never get over my compulsive overeating until I do the utmost to straighten out my past. That's why I'm here. I set up the appointment. I tell them my selfishness. I tell them that I deeply regret that. And then I ask them, is there anything else? And that's the biggest gift. If they do share with me, now we actually have an intimate, true relationship. Whereas before, I mean, I had to really admit that most of my relationships were all based on lies, right? I wasn't honest when the truth would have been better. I told people what they wanted to hear, or I didn't show up and I made up lies. You know, this is a way to have true partnership and intimacy with the world. And that feeling of being free, you know, going to bed. And this is not a one and done. This is every day. My nightly review will ask me, is there anybody I owe amends to? You know, do I owe an apology to
anybody?
Okay, let me look at that. And I will pass. This is a gift I hope more people share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. And Diane B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Diane B. Grateful to be recovered here in the state of New York. Sometimes in a state of confusion, but not today. So I've been, you know, I think I've said this before, I've been in the rooms since 1986, so over 30 years. I was 30 years old when I started, and now I'm retired, so that's a long time. And when I look at this and I think about all the amends that I've had to make, you know, it's been a progression, it's been an evolution, and as I have matured, so has my program matured. And so the people that came up on my step 8 list and the people who are on my 4th step list, it has changed over the years. And some people were repeats. For example, it took me several 4th and 5th steps, or actually 4 through 9 steps, to finally have my father off my list. And but he died in 1982. It took me many more, much more step work for my sister and my mother, because my sister's still alive, but my mom just passed away like 3 years ago. So, you know, it's like they say that God only gives us as much as we can handle. And every time I've done this work, I get to a new level of understanding, and I get to a deeper level of understanding. And of course, the longer that I've been abstinent and recovered, the more I can see, because I'm not clouded by the food or any other substance. So, you know, I really had to take a good look at myself all through the years. I still do the work. You know, I'm not finished. So I'll never be finished. And I still do the work. But I am willing to go to any length for victory over the compulsive eating. I am willing to do this work. And I understand that every time I do my step work or go through the steps again, like 4 through 9 again, I'm going to get to a deeper level. There are going to be some new people on the list because I keep living, but there are also going to be people who don't show up again. And that's really wonderful, like really being able to clean it up. So I love, you know, that we have to do this work. I am so happy that I did do this work and I continue to do it. And I also know that when I'm not willing, then I just have to pray for the willingness or call someone and ask for their experience, strength, and hope and ask, you know, how, what did they do to get through this? So it's a really important step process, steps 8 and 9. And it is so freeing. You know, once I did my amends, it was really very freeing for me, which, again, like I said, doesn't mean that there's not going to be more to do, because there always is. And so with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Diane B. Before we take another lineup, we have a little announcement for you here. Well, it's actually a big announcement. The Power of the Big Book, your weekend of inspiration, education, motivation, and fellowship. A Vision for You convention is back. Are you ready? It's going to be November 7th to 9th, 2025, at the Marriott Newark International Airport Hotel in Newark, New Jersey. The Power of the Big Book weekend is an extraordinary opportunity to learn how the 12 steps can free you from the bondage of compulsive overeating. Come join A Vision for You as a Big Book is brought to life through the teaching and experience of those in whom the problem has been solved. Coming soon, online registration. Check our website at avisionforyou.info for updates. And here's an update. Registration is open. So head out to www.avisionforyou.info, and that's where you can go and register to A Vision for You, Power of the Big Book Conference. Join us in this fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous. Very much looking forward to it. Yay! Okay, now, who would like to comment on page 67 of the Big Book, paragraph 3? Now we need more action, and ends with, we'll go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Star 1 to unmute. Let me know if you'd like to comment on this powerful paragraph.
Hi, yes, Catalina.
Who was that again?
Catalina, C-E-P-A.
Catalina C in P-A?
C-E-P-A. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. One more time. Catalina C.
C-A-T-A-L-I-N-A.
Oh, okay. Great. Great. Thank you very much. Who
Nancy
else would
C.
like to come? Nancy C. Who's after Nancy? Okay. We'll take these two. Catalina C. I think I'm saying it wrong. If you could spell that out for me one more time, I'd so appreciate it.
Of course. C-A-T-A-L-I-N-A. Good morning,
excellent,
everybody. Catalina, compulsive overeater. My previous wonderful sponsor at me that the way that I make amends to myself is by working the steps. And that just blew my mind, because for many years before she ever said that to me, I was working on my recovery, and I was always so confused whenever it was time to make amends to myself, because it's like, how could I ever repair all what my disease and myself has done? You know, it's like, where do I even start? And when she said that to me, it just like liberated me, because I don't need to fix it. Like, the steps are here to help me recover and to make amends to myself and to help me create a life beyond my wildest dreams and to live free and joyful and at service and as healthy as possible. And that's so beautiful. And I am so grateful for my sponsor. and all the teachings that she has given me, because I would have never knew that without her. So, and then the other thing that I wanted to share really quick is that I am very grateful today to be a compulsive overeater. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Catalina C. Glad you are with us. Nancy C., you're up next, and then we're going to take another lineup on page 76, paragraph 3. Please share with us, Nancy.
Good morning, everybody. This is Nancy C. in Washington State. This paragraph means so much to me. Each line of it has really deep meaning. It says that we have a list of the people we have harmed. We made it when we in our fourth step. And so that part was, that's easy. It's done. That one's done. And the idea of making amends to myself, what it talks about next is about the drastic self-appraisal. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. I found there was so much self-appraisal in the eighth step. I was told, don't even think about the ninth step. We're not there yet. In the eighth step, why is it that I don't want to go to these people? You know, what is it I'm supposed to say? I don't even know how to do that. So all of that was a drastic self-appraisal again. And that work itself was the gift to me. That was me making amends to myself, is learning how to communicate with people, to build relationships rather than what I had been doing, tearing them down. And a lot of times the people on my list from the fourth step who I, you know, resented or feared, my way of dealing with those people was I would just shut them out. I would just, like, you're dead to me. I would just hate them. I was jealous of them. They didn't, you know, some of them picked up on the negative energy. I'm sure they did. But some of them, like, you know, even like in my father's and parents' sake, I moved 3,000 miles away. That's the way I had dealt with that relationship. So it wasn't necessarily that everybody knew exactly, but what it was eating my spirit, really, in many cases, subconsciously. I wasn't even aware of it, how much. And so when I did the eighth step, the number one thing that came up for me was my pride. This is why I don't want to fix myself, fix the relationships, do what's suggested, and go face-to-face with demonstrating goodwill toward people that I didn't like in a lot of cases, or who had harmed me in some other cases. So this was a huge gift to me. I mean, it sort of leads one to believe that we're doing a gift for them. Well, yeah, but the gift to me was so huge and so much greater, probably. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Nancy C. Appreciate that. So we have time for more shares. If anybody hasn't shared in the last couple of days, we'd love to hear from you. We're commenting on page 76, paragraph 3. Now we need more action and victory over alcohol. Please press star 1 to unmute if you'd like to comment on this paragraph.
Nancy R.W., New Jersey.
I heard Nancy L.J. and someone in New Jersey.
Laura W.
Anybody
Annie,
else?
California.
Annie, was it in California?
Yes.
And what's the first initial of your last name, Annie?
Y.
Annie Y. Awesome. Anybody else like to comment? Okay, let's stick with these three and see how we're going for time. Okay, I've got Nancy J., Laura W., Annie Y. So please share with us, Nancy.
Thank you. Good morning. Nancy LJ in California. Gratefully recovered today. I just wanted to share my two cents on the fear portion of this, the fear portion of everything. If there's anybody on the line that's scared to do any of this stuff, you're not alone. That last line, remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any length for victory over alcohol. I remember the first time, this is not this step, but addressing the fear and doing any length. Someone asked me to share my story at a meeting, a face-to-face meeting. Well, my first answer was no. You know? And then, of course, the mind starts working. And I talked to my sponsor, and she reminded me. She reminded me, what are you doing here? Remember? You'll go to any lengths? Is this where you stop? And I'm like, well, I just don't think I can do it. So then the mind, right? You know, and I did it. I was trembling. I tremble when I'm very scared. It's not an attractive look, but that's what I do. Just a mild tremor. And I got through it. And afterwards, people were like, oh, my gosh, this, and oh, my gosh, that. And I was like, what? So, yeah, all of this stuff for me, you know. I remember when I was in nursing school, my very first injection, trembling. My instructor had to grab my hand to get the syringe into the bottle. And she was so gentle and kind and caring. And my sponsor did the same. And my sponsor today, I feel the same love from her. And just if you're new and scared, or oh, this isn't for me, I got to stand back, I'm going to watch for a while, just jump in and tremble, you know, because I mean, I've been doing this for a while now. And, you know, it just is what it is. But I am desperate for this life. I'm desperate for door number one, life. Door number two, spiritual death. I've lived in that. I don't want it anymore. So I just put my big girl britches on and do it anyway. And I agreed in the beginning. I always ask potential sponsees, are you ready to do this? Are you ready to do what it takes? So anyway, with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nancy J. Okay, Lord W., New Jersey, please share with us.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
You sound great.
Okay, great. Sorry, I was having trouble with my AirPods this morning, so I just want to make sure. It's Laura W. Good morning, everyone. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. The sense of urgency that this entire book talks about is it's really strong. And this paragraph especially, it says now. Doesn't say, you know, in 3 hours. It doesn't say next week. It says now. We need more action. You know, action is a word that describes movement. It describes effort. You know, I have my list here. It's really laying it out for me. It's all laid out in front of me how to do this. I already have the list. I don't have to go digging for it. But it's scary because I have to subject myself now to a drastic self-appraisal. That's the last thing any addict wants to do, is look at themselves. That's the last thing I wanted to do, is look at where do I fall short? Where am I at fault? And I know a lot of people talk about making amends to yourself and all this, and I've never done that. I've never made amends to myself because I skipped through life thinking that everybody else was the problem and that I was never the problem for anything. So my drastic self-appraisal is all about, where am I wrong? You know, I have to humble myself through this process, and it's scary. And then again, it says, now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. My sponsor reminded me that this doesn't mean that, you know, well, I'll do it when it's convenient. I'll do it when the person's in town. I had to find a way, whether it was, you know, I couldn't find a few people. I wrote letters. You know, it was tough. It was tough and humbling. And I sometimes heard back and sometimes I didn't. But I know that my side of the street is clear in those situations. And if I haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Who do we ask? Do we ask our sponsor? You know, no, I ask God. Every single paragraph in this book brings me back to God. And that's the thing. When I'm feeling this way, when I'm feeling scared, when I'm feeling angry and resentful, I have to go to my higher power. I've got to ask God, you know, God, help me set aside everything I think I know about this situation and help me do your will. And remember, it was agreed that I would go to any length for victory over alcohol. And for me, that's a warning, because if I don't go to any lengths for victory over my disease, it's going to creep back in and it's going to slowly kill me. And, you know, and for today, I want to live, you know, and that's new. I mean, I've been in recovered for many years, but I want to live. I don't want to go back to the hell of the disease, no matter how comforting it was at times. So I'm grateful to be here today and to read this with you all. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Lord W. Amy Y in California, please share with us.
Hi, this is Annie Y in California. And I just first want to say thank you to everyone who does service for this meeting. I recently was turned on to this meeting, and it is making a huge difference in my program. So I want to say thank you so much. I have so much gratitude for it. and I also wanted to share on this topic because a few years back, when I was working through, you know, the amends, one of the biggest amends I had to make was to my own mother. It was really difficult. I remember I lived in LA. She lived out like an hour away from LA going towards Palm Springs. And I didn't really want to make the amends. I was very reluctant, like, no, like, I don't know. But my sponsor, you know, helped through that. And anyways, I wrote it out first to kind of prepare myself. And then I went out and visited her. And when I made the amends, it felt like such a relief. Years and years, I don't know, I had been holding something against her, maybe blaming her for my disease because she ate too much when she was pregnant with me or whatever it was that I was hanging on to. And, you know, I moved, so fast forward a few months later, we're sitting in a hospital bed and she is not doing so well. And he said, Annie, I, you know, a few months back you made an amends, but it's really something that's been on my heart now that I have to make an amends. So she made an amends to me, and it was a really beautiful moment I'll never forget. My daughter videotaped it from the corner of the room. But she was just telling me how sorry she was about a few things that I never knew about, things I would have never held on to because I didn't know. And then she passed away a few days later. And so I just want to say that, like, this mentoring in OA is so powerful. And, it, you know, it really helped my program at that time so much to get through that. She's not with me anymore, but I feel her close. And I have a very good feeling when I think of her. And I have a very, like, at peace feeling when I think about the amends that we each made to each other. So I just want to share that and hope it's helpful to somebody. I just, you know, I really need to keep working my program, and that's also why I got on, just to remind myself that I have to keep working this program because, yeah, I, you know, yeah, I need that. So I thank you all for being here. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. We have time for two-minute shares. Would anybody like to comment for 2 minutes? Star one to unmute.
Jackie H. from Idaho.
Jackie H.
Jan C. Denver.
And Jan C. in Colorado. Please share with us, Jackie.
Yeah, hi, Jackie H. from Idaho. And thank you, everybody, for sharing and your honesty and, you know, the willingness to show up and work this program. I thought putting down the food was the hard part. And then I thought the fifth step was the hard part. Now, you know, now I'm in my amends and I'm like, no, this is the hard part. And I'm like, you know, this isn't going to be easy. But you know what? I made a commitment that I was willing to go to any lengths. And the first thing my sponsor said to me was, are you willing to be uncomfortable? And that's what I say to my sponsees. Because this isn't a comfortable process. It's not meant to be a comfortable process.
And a drastic self-appraisal, where did I do harm? I mean, according to myself, everybody else did harm, but I never did. So when I actually saw the harms that I had done, I was horrified. And, you know, I am reminded over and over again by my sponsor, every time I get nervous going up into an event, she goes, all you're doing is unblocking yourself from God. That's all you're doing. Removing those places that block you off from God. And what are we doing here? We're building a relationship with God. If God is the solution, then we need to trust that God and we need to build the relationship with that God. I loved in the beginning, she said, you don't have to trust God right now. You're building a relationship. You know, and so the more I do as she asks, the more I pray and I listen and I do what I hear, builds that relationship with God, and it allows me to have the integrity to show up in front of someone else and admit the harms that I have done to them. And then in that moment, there's an opening. There's a little bit of a clearing, and that line to God opens a little bit more. And so that's what I am. You know, again and again and again, God works miracles in my life, and I'm not even a year in yet. But I am grateful to be willing to show up and do the work today that frees me from my own hell that I created, you know, and puts my hand in the hand of God. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jackie H. Jan C., you'll be our final share for today. Please share with us.
Good morning. I'm so grateful to be here this morning. This is Jan C. from Denver, Colorado. I just moved from Arizona back home to my state where my kids are, my family. Wow, this has been such an awesome meeting this morning. Thank you, everybody. I identify with so much that people have said, and you have really jarred my conscience some, quite a bit, actually. I know there are amends I need to make, so I'm really praying about that, turning it over to my higher power. This move to Colorado was quite a miracle because I let it all go to God. So that's what I need to do with this. And someone just talked about, are you willing to be uncomfortable? Yeah, I am more willing to be uncomfortable now to make some amends that I to myself and to others that I think I should have done quite a while ago. So I am so grateful to be in program, to be abstinent, so I know I can recover and I can rejoice and I can relax today in God's love. I want to keep that hallway clean between me and God so my relationship gets deeper and deeper. God's always loving me unconditionally, but I don't. So I need to work on that. And I thank you all very much. God bless. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Jan C., and everybody that has shared. So powerful. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Nancy C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
This is Nancy C. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the person who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find. And join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.